Hello, hello, and welcome to the Yeshiva University Torah Mitzion Kollel Halftime Torah Shir for 5780 Super Bowl 54 2020. This evening, we're going to spend about 20 minutes learning Torah during the halftime show. Sure, we're going to ask two questions for all of our high school boys, and if they get those questions right, then for next week's Sunday Night Learning on February 9th, they'll get one extra ticket per question answered correctly. What are our two questions? Question number one, what position does Rabbi Zucker want to play in the NFL? Question number two, what Latin phrase does Rabbi Zucker use during this year? Keep that in mind, be listening up, and we'll send out a Google Form link. You can fill it out, and you'll get your tickets when you make it to SNL next week. Now let's jump in, let's learn some Torah together. This evening is obviously very, very exciting. There's lights and sounds, cameras, there's been a full week of build-up, and we're all so excited for the Super Bowl. It's been a great game thus far. It's very, very exciting. But what makes the Super Bowl so great? It's not just this evening, but it's the legacy that it leaves behind. On Super Bowl night, records are set, legacies are made, people become legends. It's very close to my heart. Yeah. A number of years ago now the New York Giants and the New England Patriots were playing, and the Giants were the significant underdog. The Patriots had been undefeated up to that point. But on a long third down, the Giants threw the ball, and some random guy named David Tyree catches a football on his helmet and completes, and the Giants move forward. They get a new first down, and they eventually score a touchdown, causing them to win the game. Who's David Tyree? Some random guy who never did anything exceptional in his football career except for that moment. But in that one moment, he became a Super Bowl legend. And we talk a lot about legacy, even right now. Andy Reid's legacy as a head coach is up for grabs. If he can win tonight, then they're going to say, oh, he's incredible, he's amazing, without a question, a Hall of Famer. But if he doesn't, it's not so clear. And we talk about that, you know, Super Bowl, a quarterback, you know, maybe they win, maybe they don't. If they don't ever make it to the Super Bowl, they never win a Super Bowl, then maybe they're not really the tip-top. On the Lale Super Bowl, when the Super Bowl's going on, all we seem to talk about, all we seem to care about is the fact that this evening will live on forever. And all these lights and sounds, all this excitement, reminds me a lot of a time in Jewish history when there was lights and there were sounds and we made history. And it's not this week's Parsha, it's next week's Parsha, but it's what all of Yetzias Mitzrayim is leading to. When we talk about lights and sounds and excitement, we got to think about Har Sinai. Har Sinai, that evening, that moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to all of Am Yisrael, that moment when Bnei Yisrael received the Torah, that was huge. If we talk about a legend, we talk about a legacy, that was it. And yet something funny happens. Because once Har Sinai ends, once the Torah has been given, once the lights and the sounds turn off, Har Sinai becomes a regular mountain. Totally unextraordinary, no holiness, no Kedusha. They built a fence around Har Sinai to prevent anyone from touching it. Because if anyone were to touch Har Sinai during Matan Torah, they would die immediately. And yet, not long after, once the Kedusha had left, and in Shmos, Yud Gimel, it even says, B'meshach HaYovel, Hema Yalu Bahar. People are walking around the mountain. You know, there are people hiking. There are kids running up and down as if it's Masada. Har Sinai goes from being this extraordinary place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Bnei Yisrael and then becomes nothing. How does that Kedusha disappear? Especially when we think about another mountain. When we think about Har HaMoriah, we think about Har HaBayit, where the Beis HaMikdash stood for 800 years. And even today, there's a debate amongst scholars, a debate amongst our Rabbanim, whether or not we're allowed to go up to Har HaBayit, because maybe Har HaBayit still has Kedusha. Without question, Har HaBayit still has Kedusha. And maybe the parts that we want to go up to are too holy for us. Because everyone agrees, it's explained, it's in the Rambam, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, 7-7, based on Tehillim, chapter 132, that Har HaBayit retains Kedusha forever. Zos Menuchasi Ad. So why does Har Sinai lose its Kedusha once Matan Torah is over, but the base of the Har HaBayit, where the base of Bechira was, where the base of Middash was, why does that still have Kedusha? What happened on Har Abayit that we retained the Kedusha that didn't happen on Har Sinai, which seemingly was such a powerful, such an extraordinary moment? What's the difference? And tonight, you know, many of us are thinking about football. And I don't know if I can speak for anyone else, but growing up, I had dreams, I had visions of being a football player. But I know, you know, I'm a nice Jewish boy, I'm probably not going to play football. But let's admit, but you know, if I was, you know, if I'd wanted to, without question, I think the only job I could ever really possibly do on a football field is place kicker. You know, all you have to do is just, you know, have a strong leg, you know, kick the ball where it's supposed to go. There's no pushing, there's no hitting, there's no tackling. Nice Jewish boys maybe could be place kickers, except, you know, I'm Mitchell Schwartz on the Chiefs seems to be proving me wrong. But for most nice Jewish boys, I think place kicker is probably the best option for us. But what if I'm not a nice, you know, nice little Jewish boy? Maybe I'm a guy named Rick, you know, Rick Thomas. I'm from Odessa, Texas. And for Rick Thomas from Odessa, Texas, he wants to be a football player. So what does it take? What are the chances he'll be a football player? Well, Rick Thomas of Odessa, Texas, he's playing in high school, and he might be from a really big football high school, but there are a million other high schoolers who are also playing football. And only 7.1% of those boys are going to be playing in the NCAA. 73,000 of them will make it to the NCAA, and how many picks are there in the draft? We know, only 256. And yeah, there'll be a few undrafted agents, and not necessarily everyone needs to be picked in the draft. So ultimately, NCAA.com says that of the 1 million high school students, to 7.1% go to the NCAA, and the 73,000 NCAA players, only 1.6% of them get drafted to the NFL. So few of them get drafted to the NFL. But why? What's going on with the 1.6 that actually make it in? That minute number of guys who make it into the NFL in any given year, just a little bit more than 500. How come they make it and no one else does? Well, you know, if you look, you know, at the combine training and all of the efforts that the football players put in, maybe we could get an idea. But instead, you know, when you were, you know, the Shiva is ending for Kobe Bryant, and regardless of his character, as in terms of work ethic, everyone recognized that Kobe Bryant was extraordinary, you know, an outlier in every sense of the word. And so if we take a moment to think about the schedule, the training schedule that Kobe Bryant had, it's extraordinary. I got this from Barry Mayer Simpson-Stromer. He shared it with the guys in the Colo, and I would love to play for you the video. I'm happy to send it to you if anyone wants, but for now I'm just going to tell you what Kobe tells us about what his workout looked like. He was determined that he wanted to be the best, and so he'd get up at 3 in the morning, and he would train from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. At 7 o'clock, he'd be home, he'd have breakfast, he'd relax a little bit, and then back to training again from 9 to 11. Then he'd have lunch and he'd relax, and then back again from 2 to 4, and then back again from 7 to 9. Kobe spent so much time training, 8 hours every single day training, because he was determined to be the best. He put in as much effort as he possibly could because he wanted to be at the top of his game. And there's an awesome story that I love that I told at my L'Chaim about the Chafetz Chaim. It's not really about the Chafetz Chaim. It's about someone who was speaking to the Chafetz Chaim. See, the Chafetz Chaim was going around raising money for his yeshiva. You know, it's not easy to support all the guys learning, and so he was trying to bring some money in so he could feed them and help them out. And he walks into a businessman's office, and the businessman says, "Oh, Rebbe, it's so good to see you." And the Chafetz Chaim's like, shalom, they're schmoozing. And the Chafetz Chaim, you know, he's going to ask the man for some money for the yeshiva. And he says, "Rebbe, I know what you need. Don't worry about it. I'll talk to my secretary. I'll send you a check, but I got to run right now. I've got a big meeting coming up. So, you know, let me run out, and we'll send you the check in the mail." So the Chafetz Chaim, you know, maybe you'll just, you know, very quickly just, you know, write it out. And he says, "I'm sorry, I can't do it right now. I'll send it to you in the mail. Don't worry about it. I got to run." So the man leaves, and the Chafetz Chaim has no check. He goes back to Radin, and perhaps not surprisingly, the check never comes. A little while later, the Chafetz Chaim hears that this wealthy businessman loses all of his money. And he's walking one day in the Beis Medrash, and he sees that, you know, there are lots of homeless people who would sleep on the benches of the Beis Medrash if they had nowhere else to go. And he sees this wealthy man, the man who was once so powerful, so busy, they had to leave the Chafetz Chaim. He sees that he's sleeping on a bench. The man has mamish nothing, that he doesn't even have a home to sleep in. He's got to sleep on a bench. So the Chafetz Chaim, not wanting to embarrass him, that, you know, he knows how much he fell, he turns the other way, starts walking in the other direction, but the man sees the Chafetz Chaim, and he full-on sprints. It's a 40-yard dash, and he grabs the Chafetz Chaim, and he says, "Why didn't you make me give you the money?" And the Chafetz Chaim was a small man, and he says, "What are you talking about? What do you mean?" And he says, "Why didn't you make me give you the money?" "Sir, I'm so sorry. I don't know what you're talking about." He says, "You were in my office. I had all this money, and I could have just given you some." The Chafetz Chaim says, I'm sorry. I didn't want to be too pushy, and you had to run." And the man tells the Chafetz Chaim, "I had so much money, and it's all gone. If I had given to your yeshiva, at least I would have had that." Dr. Arnold Lustiger, in the Drushas Harav, in his Drushas from Rav Soloveitchik, writes, really paraphrasing what the Rav said, that the world of holiness has one source, sacrifice. That Kedusha stems from giving of yourself, from taking money that you earned and donating it to the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva, from taking of our time, of our sleep, getting up at 3 in the morning, and giving it toward something, of sacrificing. Rachmana li babai means that Kadosh Baruch Hu just wants us to put in effort. Kadosh Baruch Hu just wants us to try. And so, how does Har Bayit develop Kedusha? Where does the Kedusha for Har Moriah develop? From the sacrifices that Am Yisrael brought. Because Am Yisrael worked for it. Because the Am Yisrael fought for it. They had to conquer the mountain. They had to build the Batei Mikdash. They had to bring Korbanos. Avram Avinu brought his son Yitzchak onto Har Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedusha is born from sacrifice. But what sacrifice was there on Har Sinai? What did Am Yisrael have to give up? Am Yisrael just stood there as passive observers. There was no effort. It was just a gift. And so, when we think about Kedusha, when we think about where this Kedusha comes from, it's illogical to ever assume that Kedusha would stick around on Har Sinai. Yes, sure, Kadosh Baruch Hu was there for that one moment, but it doesn't stay, it doesn't last. But the Kedusha on Har Moriah, the Kedusha on Har Abayit, that was born from 800 years of Bnei Yisrael offering korbanos, of sacrificing. The Gemara Maseches Megillah has an awesome, awesome message. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak is teaching us, "Im yomer lecha adam yagati v'lo matzasi, al tamin." If someone tells you that I put in a lot of effort, but I did not succeed, I didn't find what I was looking for, do not believe them. Lo yagati umatzasi, I didn't put in a lot of effort, but I did get what I was looking for, al tamin. Do not believe them. When is the only time that you can trust a person's statement? When they say, "Yagati umatzasi," that I put in a lot of effort and I got a lot in return. And then the Gemara says, then Rabbi Yitzchak teaches us, ta'amin, then you can believe them. Har Sinai had no yagia, had no effort. It was just a mitzia. And so you can't really trust that Am Yisrael gained and stuck with it. Haraya, it didn't stick with them so much because Chet Egel happened not so long afterward, only 50 days later. Har Sinai didn't have Yagati. Har Sinai didn't have all the effort. And so, yes, Am Yisrael received the Torah at Har Sinai, but that Torah was supposed to be the start of their effort. And when it wasn't the start of their effort, when they weren't willing to put in any more effort so that they could say that I really, really, really acquired it, then we see the Chet Egel happening on Shiva Asar Tammuz. Bnei Yisrael messing up. And they have to try again and to put in effort. Only when we put in effort, when we can say Yagati, are we able to also say Matzasi. only when someone puts in the effort, or is there going to be Kedusha? Are you going to find Kedusha in that place? So Har Sinai, when all of the effort was coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and not coming from Am Yisrael, that's not a Yagati Umatsasi. That's a Lo Yagati Umatsasi, and it didn't last. The Kedusha didn't last. Even the Kabbalah didn't last. We had to receive the Torah again, the second Luchos, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yom Kippur is another day of Matan Torah because it didn't work the first time. There was not Kedusha that stuck around because they didn't put in any effort. But Har Abayit? But the Temple Mount? Mount Har Moriah? So much effort went into that. Whether it was Avraham Yitzchak, whether it was Yaakov doubting on his way to Haran, whether it was Am Yisrael bringing Karbanos in the base of Migdash for over 800 years, there's a ton of Yagati. And so we're able to say Matsasi and be believed and ta'amin. Because even though we like to say that football is any given Sunday, you know, anything can happen, any team can win, that's not really true. Super Bowl is not about any given Sunday. There's no such thing as any given Sunday. Because it's every Sunday, and it's every Monday, and it's every Tuesday, every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That you have to get up early, you have to go to bed late, you have to put in all your effort, all your cocos, all your energy, or you will not win. What's exciting about the Super Bowl is that it's not any given Sunday. That it's the culmination of not just one season that started in September and it's now coming to end in February. It's the culmination of years upon years of effort from players all over the world, players all over the country, who have been putting in all of their effort to become the people that can make crazy plays. David Tyree, was like a nothing football player. And even so, because he put in so much effort over so many years, he was able to make one extraordinary, almost fantastic catch. What we get so excited about when we watch football, as Rabbi Myers likes to say, it's the two best teams, the two most qualified parties, battling it out. But how do those people become so qualified? How do those people become so good? The non-stop effort. The constant trying. The Yagati and the Matsasi. Because every single player on that field put in hours upon hours of work. And not all of them are superstars. Not all of them are household names. It's not like we've got a Tom Brady playing this time around. But even if we don't know every name of every player on the field, if any one of the 53 players on any one of the teams comes and tells you, like the Gemara Megillah, Yagati Avalo Matsasi, Nebuch, only one team's going to go home with the win. Only one team goes home with the Lombardi Trophy. One team is going to get that t-shirt that says Super Bowl champion. One team is going to get that ring that's way bigger than anyone could ever possibly fit on a finger, unless you're a football player. If any one of the other 53 players, the team that loses tonight, whether it's the Chiefs, whether it's the Niners, if they tell you, Yagati, I tried, I put in all my effort, I tried so hard, the Lo Matsasi, but I didn't win, Haraya, I don't have any of the things, I don't have the ring, I don't have the t-shirt, I don't have the trophy, Chazal tell us explicitly, then you should look that 300-pound refrigerator of a man in the face and tell him, I do not believe you. Al Ta'amin. Because yes, you might not have won the Super Bowl. Yes, you might not have all of the things. But it doesn't mean that you didn't win something. It doesn't mean that you didn't arrive. You didn't find. It doesn't mean Lo Matsasi. Because the losers of tonight are not going to be like the man who didn't have a chance to give money to the Chafetz Chaim. They put the work in, and they have that still with them. The man told the Chafetz Chaim, as long as I have given money to you, if I had just given money to you, then I'd be able to say that at least I did something. And so every one of these football players still has their 5 a.m. workouts. They still have the hours of game film that they watched. Win or lose, that still belongs to every football player. What excites us so much about watching these players is not the fact that they're larger than life, that without any effort whatsoever, they would beat me on any day in any sport without question. What's so exciting about watching these players is that we know, we're seeing come to life, Yagati Umatsasi Ta'amin, that if you put in effort, then you will receive reward, then you will be able to accomplish. Sports, it was said in the name of someone I saw, I'm forgetting who it is at the moment, that sports is a microcosm of our lives. Sports is an area where you can put in explicit effort and gain specific rewards. That if you develop yourself, not just athletically, if you develop yourself personally as a human being, as a Balmidos, then when you were playing sports, that comes to life. How many people do we know that when they play sports, they're not so nice? And how many people do we know that when we were playing sports with them, they could not be sweeter, they could not be warmer? Haraya, that person's developed themselves. Sports is an instance in which we get to see firsthand that if you put in the effort, you will find reward. Yagati ken matsatsi. If we learned anything this past week, from last Sunday to this Sunday, about the world of sports, it's carpe diem. It's a Latin term for seize the day. Write that down. Carpe diem, seize the day. Take advantage of today, because in a moment, today can be gone. Khalilah should never happen to anyone else. It shouldn't happen to Kobe. It shouldn't happen to anyone else on his helicopter. But Khalilah, it could end. But what sticks around from Kobe is that every single day he put in as much effort as he possibly could. Seize the day, because if we grab onto it, we can milk it for all it's worth. That's really how we build a legacy. That's really how we leave something behind in this world. That's really how we create, facilitate, and retain Kedusha. Because yes, we can just show up. Random people could show up on the field tonight and start playing football, wearing all the gear with all the fanfare, but that's not going to excite us. Not because they're not good, but because they did not try. They didn't put in the effort. They didn't spend 16 weeks in the regular season trying their very best to win and eventually succeeding. We want to see people who succeed because they put in the effort. We love the people. We venerate the people who put in the effort and eventually succeed. And in our own lives, what we should be looking for, what we should be excited about, is not trying to find the times where lo yagati umatsasi, where I didn't really try, I didn't really put in a lot of effort, I walked into the test, I just tried this out, and it all worked out great, matsasi, I did a great job. Al-tamin, that's not what believable, that's not what we're looking for. That's not what we're trying to accomplish in our lives. We're trying to be yagati umatsasi yidin. We're trying to be people who will put in the effort, who will reap the rewards because we put in the effort, like Chazal promised us. So whether we're thinking about Har Sinai, whether we're talking about someone who just strolls onto the field, a walk-on onto the team, we don't want to be a situation where the Kedusha leaves after a few minutes. Because every one of these football players will retain their Kedusha, will retain the tremendous effort that they put in, whether or not they win or lose. And if we're willing to put in the effort, then I have no doubt in my mind that we'll be able to say in a very short period of time, Yagati, I put in the effort, umatsasi, and I found what I was looking for. I accomplished. I succeeded. V'ta'amin, everyone will believe us. Yashar koach, guys. Shkoyach for learning during the Super Bowl. Shkoyach for coming together to learn. God willing, we should take this lesson going forward. You'll receive a link very, very shortly with the questions, and you can get your extra tickets. Shkoyach, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.